This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. Now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Today, many churches are departing from a position of biblical separation and tragically entering into compromise with this present evil world. What is the typical pattern when a church goes into compromise with the world? How does the Bible tell us to recognize what is happening? Stay tuned for the answers as we continue our series of messages on the doctrine of biblical separation. Heavenly Father, you have told us in your word that Satan and his ministers are great deceivers. But you have told us how to recognize that deception and how to protect ourselves and our churches from it. As we open your word today, I pray that you will drive these truths home to us. And I especially pray this for anyone who is listening today who may be in a church that is sliding into compromise with the world. Equip us, Father, to be obedient to your command not to compromise with this world and its sinful thinking and its evil associations. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are resuming our series of messages on the biblical doctrine of separation. As we begin, let me call your attention once again to the passages that have set the theme for this series of messages. If you're able to do so, I hope that you will turn with me in your own copy of God's Word to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I want to read for you once again the first four verses of chapter 3 and also verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then let me call your attention to verses 16 and 17 of this same chapter, Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The words that we have just read speak to us of the fact that God commands believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be separated from this present world and separated unto him. God commands his people to separate themselves from the pattern of sinful thinking and sinful living and sinful associations, which are the way of this world that is under the sway of Satan. And not only are God's people commanded to separate themselves from the world, but they are also to separate themselves unto God, because we have been raised with Christ, raised to newness of life. The true Christian, the truly regenerated individual, has been crucified with Christ. The person who is saved has been raised with Christ. The life of the individual Christian is hidden with Christ in God. That is your position as a Christian. You are no longer of the world, spiritually speaking. You are in Christ. It is in Christ that you are made alive. It is in Christ that you have been given the righteousness of God. And it is in Christ that you have been given the wisdom of God's Word to live a life that is worthy of the Lord, even though you are still living in this present evil world. To be in Christ is to be in the ultimate place of safety and certainty in this spiritually unsafe and uncertain present evil world. To be in Christ is the ultimate place of safety and protection from the wrath that is coming upon this world and upon those who refuse Christ. To be in Christ is not only the ultimate place of safety for the life to come in the new heavens and new earth. To be in Christ, to be in His Word, to be seeking those things which are above, to set your mind not on the things of this earth, but on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, that is also the ultimate place of safety from the influences of this present evil world, which seeks to subvert the individual Christian and to subvert the church. But today, many people who profess to be Christians, and many churches that profess to be Bible-based, Bible-believing churches, are not thinking and speaking and living in that position of safety. Many Christians and many churches have their minds firmly fixed on the things of this present evil world, the philosophies and thinking of this present evil world, a way of living that is under the influence of the world and in agreement with the world. This is the problem we confront in the church today. And we must confront it. We must be honest to recognize the tragic situation that we find in much of the church today. And we must understand what God says must be done. And we must resolve to do what God commands us to do. Now, as we have been studying the subject of biblical separation, we have been asking a series of questions. And we come now to a question that follows from the ones that we have asked previously. The question I want to place before you today, and the answer from Scripture today, deals with this. What is to be the relationship of the Christian and the church to this present evil world? Or to put the question a different way, what changes when you become a Christian? What changes when you are regenerated by the Spirit of God and God places you in the body of Christ? Now, before I go on to begin to answer those questions, I want to make sure that we understand what it means to be in the body of Christ. It is not simply a matter of joining a visible church. The vast majority of people who are members of a visible church today are not members of the body of Christ. Now, that may surprise some of you. That may even shock or offend some of you. But it is the truth according to the Word of God. Dear friend, listen to me carefully. You do not become a Christian by having your name added to the membership roll of an organized church. You do not become a Christian by being baptized. You do not become a member of the body of Christ by standing up in front of a group of people and taking a church membership vow. None of these things makes you a Christian. None of these things regenerates you. None of these things brings you to spiritual life. None of these things crucifies you with Christ. None of these things crucifies the old man. None of these trappings of church membership, membership in a visible church, none of this makes you dead to this present evil world. None of those things raises you to spiritual life in Christ. None of these things places you in the position that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here, the position of your life being hidden with Christ and God. None of these things, none of the trappings of visible church membership are the guarantee that when Christ appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. You cannot join yourself to a local church. You cannot associate yourself with an organized church in order to become a Christian. A person joins himself to a local Bible-believing church. A person associates and identifies himself with a local body of believers because God has made him a Christian. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 tells us that it was the Lord who added to the church each day those who were being saved. Acts chapter 5, verse 14 declares that it was believers who were increasingly added to the Lord, added, that is, to the body of Christ, multitudes of both men and women. Ephesians 1:23 declares to us that it is those who are regenerated by the Spirit of God who are members of the true body of Christ. Now, in light of this truth, let me come back to our question. What is to be the relationship of the Christian and the church to this present evil world? Or to put the question a different way, what changes when you become a Christian? The answer is that the relationship is changed dramatically. We saw this in an earlier series of messages when we were studying the first verses of Colossians chapter 3 in greater detail. When we looked at the fact that the Bible teaches that the true Christian, the person who has been saved, the person who has been regenerated by the Spirit of God, that person has been given adoption as a son by God. If you are truly in Christ, it means that God, who was once your condemning judge, is now God your loving Father. It means that you are part of the family of those who bear the name of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, note well what this means. It means that if you are a Christian, your family relationship has changed. Spiritually speaking, those who remain in a lost condition, those who are unsaved, those people, even though they may in some cases be your blood relatives, spiritually speaking, those unsaved people are no longer your brothers and sisters. If you are a Christian, you are no longer a member of the family of the unsaved. You are a member of the family of the saints of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 declares that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And then the Apostle Paul says this in the very next verse, "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, because this is true, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." This is a dramatic change from an individual's previous position, a complete change. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that when we were outside of Christ, we were aliens and strangers in the eyes of God. We were without hope. We were without God in the world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 tells us that before we were brought to life in Christ, our spiritual understanding was darkened. We were alienated from the life of God. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, the Apostle Paul says this of the Colossian believers, and it is true of every believer. He writes this, "And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He, Christ, has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel." And dear friend, this is why the words that we read at the beginning of this message are so vital for you. It is absolutely essential for you to be continually in the Word of God, because it is absolutely essential for the Word of God to be continually in you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And we saw that the word dwell in the original language has the sense of the Word of God being at home, completely at home within you, having free reign within you. In other words, there can be no compartmentalization in the life of the Christian. You cannot have certain areas of your life that are separated from the world and certain areas of your life that are not. This is true of the individual Christian, and it is true of the church as a body. At the beginning of each of our broadcasts, the announcer says this, "The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-driven church, relying upon God's inspired, inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry." The Word of God must have free reign in every area of your life and your thinking. And the Word of God must have free reign in every area of the life and ministry of the church. No individual Christian has the right to say to God, in effect, "This is a part of my life and my thinking that is off limits to you. You can come this far, but no further. You cannot say that to God. You have no right to say that to God. And the same is true for the church. No church leadership and no congregation has the right to say to God, in effect, this is an area of the life and thinking of this church that is off limits to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. But today many individuals who call themselves Christians, and many churches that call themselves evangelical or fundamental or reformed, are conducting themselves as though these verses were not in the Bible. They are effectively saying to God, you can come this far and no further. We will only be subject to the Word of God up to this point. We will only be subject to the Word of God to the extent that we are comfortable. We will only be subject to the Word of God to the extent that it makes unsaved people feel comfortable with us. We establish the boundaries of the influence of the Word of God. Beyond this point, beyond the boundaries that we have established, the Word of man has free rein. The philosophies of man have free rein. The influences of this present evil world have free rein. Now, will you hear a preacher say this from the pulpit? No, you probably will not, at least not in the beginning. The book of Jude, verse 4, tells us that such men, pastors and church leaders who want to compartmentalize the ministry of the church and place certain things off limits to the critical eye of the Word of God, we are told that such preachers and leaders creep into the visible church unnoticed. A literal translation of Jude verse 4 reads like this: For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who were long ago marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into shameless rebellion, who disregard and reject the authority of the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, I hear of this happening more and more frequently in local churches today. In fact, while I was preparing this broadcast message, we received a phone call from a lady who was in a local church in which this very thing was happening. And the pattern is always very much the same. A man comes in as the new pastor of what has been a sound Bible-believing church, and this man comes in talking the talk that the congregation is accustomed to hearing. But over time, usually over the course of 1 or 2 years, things begin to change. The new man begins to change the worship of the church to make it more acceptable to the world. The new man begins to change the emphasis in the pulpit from expository preaching to the use of scripture texts taken out of their context to support a new agenda in the church. The new agenda may be a purpose-driven church agenda. It may be the emergent church agenda. It may be a health and wealth agenda. It may be a material success agenda, or increasingly in our own time, it may be a social justice agenda. And the man who is doing this may not be a new man. In some cases, these changes may be brought about by a man who has been the pastor of a church for many years, but he has come under ungodly influences, and he brings those ungodly influences into the local church. Something else is also usually a part of the pattern when these changes take place, when the church ceases to be separated, a separated church, and becomes a church that is in friendship with the world. The additional thing that usually occurs is that when Bible-believing Christians who have been in the congregation for many years stand up in opposition to the unbiblical changes that are being made, stand up in opposition to the move away from a spiritually separated position, the man in the pulpit begins to change the emphasis in his preaching to an emphasis, and I should say an unbiblical emphasis, on the authority of the pastor and of the leadership of the church. The pastor of the church that is going the way of the world sets himself up and sets up those who have allied with him in the leadership in moving the church in these ungodly directions. He sets them up as the authority in the church instead of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ being the authority. Now, this is not to say that there is not a place in the church for spiritual authority, but it must be authority that is in subjection to the Word of God and in subjection to the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, this takes us back to the verses that we have referred to so often in this series of messages in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Word of Christ must first of all have free rein within the hearts and minds of the pastor and the leaders of the church. All that the pastor and the leaders of the church do, the example that they set, the direction in which they lead the church, must be a direction that is worthy of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be a position and a direction that is separated from the world and separated unto God. The pastor and the leaders of the church must be constantly placing before the people of the church the imperative of separation from the world and separation unto God, and it cannot simply be a matter of talking the talk, but not walking the walk. Now, there is much more to be said on this subject, and as we continue, I want to place before you an example from the Old Testament in which a spiritual leader, King Solomon himself, departed from a separated position and involved himself and his kingdom and the people of God in deep compromise with the world, with disastrous results. Dear friends, this is not a pleasant thing to have to look at, but we need to look at this if we are to be true to God and true to His Word. We need to understand the parallel in the church in our own time, so that we may be warned, and so that we may not fall into the same tragic error, and so that we may truly serve our Lord and glorify Him with our whole hearts.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, one of the things we have been emphasizing in this series of messages is the vital need for every believer to be constantly in the Word of God, so that the Word of God may have free rein within our lives. That's why we're offering a free resource kit during this series that is designed to help you read the Bible regularly and systematically, and to read it for spiritual profit. The kit includes three resources. The first is a Bible reading schedule that will take you through the entire Word in a year in about 20 minutes a day. The second resource in the kit is called Why Should You Read the Entire Bible Every Year? This resource explains why it is vital to read God's Word systematically. The third resource in the kit is called More Precious Than Gold, How to Read and Study God's Word Profitably. This resource explains how to get the most out of your commitment to read the Bible regularly. We will send our Bible reading kit to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world without cost or obligation. And if you don't have a Bible, we would be happy to send one to you. Here's how you can receive these resources without cost or obligation. Listeners anywhere in the world can go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the free resources link on our homepage. Once again, that's the free resources link on our homepage at teachingtheword.org. Or if you're listening in North America, you can call us toll-free anytime 24 hours a day at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. If you hear a recorded message when you call, please leave a voicemail message telling us that you would like to receive the Bible reading kit or a Bible or whatever other reason you may be contacting us, and we will return your call as soon as possible. Or you can request the Bible reading kit by writing to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And once again, these resources are free to anyone who requests them anywhere in the world as our gift to you. Thanks for listening today, and until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.